This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Pets and People in Paradise is made possible by KKCR sustaining members in partnership with Kava Kauai, Hawaiian author Bill Fernandez, Ho'olono Naturals, and Zero Waste Kauai.
Kava Kauai is pleased to support Kauai Community Radio, a family-operated business serving traditional kava on Kauai and around the globe for over 20 years. Available at Harvest Market, Papayas, Hoku Foods, and at realkava.com. For more information, call 808-821-1039. Kava, the drink of peace.
Announcing Kauai author Bill Fernandez's new novel, Conquest. Our hero Kalani's peaceful settlement is tragically short-lived while Hawaii's unification wars rage on. Royal threats lead to historical battles at Waikiki and Nu'uanu as Kalani seeks vengeance against mysterious, tattooed warriors. What more is our hero willing to risk? More information about Conquest at KauaiBillFernandez.com.
Ho'olono Natural Remedies, Kauai-made farm-to-bottle herbal preparations for optimal health. Herbal cough and cold relief, salves and tonics, mamaki tea, cultured noni juice, and more. Ho'olono natural products can be found at health food stores or online at hoolono.com.
Zero Waste Kauai, educating, advocating, and assisting in Kauai's transition to zero waste. Zero Waste Kauai encourages you to think ahead, consider your footprint, and be prepared with reusables. For more info about implementing zero waste in your home or business, visit zerowastekauai.net.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Thank you. Good morning, aloha, kakahiaka, ohayo gozaimasu, and buenos dias, amigos. That was Wala Lea, Rita Coolidge, Laura Sattersfield, and Priscilla Coolidge. And more music later when we take a break for you to call in at 826-7771, but only call when there's music on because I can't do it all. So, some of you know that I'm going to be talking about a heavy subject, but it's a necessary subject. Euthanasia, when to put your dog or cat to sleep, versus hospice care. You know, hospice care at home, having the animal die at home or in a vet clinic. You know, our pets and animals are sacred beings. They have consciousness. They have spirit, and they have emotions. They come into our lives to comfort, to bring joy, give us some exercise, and they come to heal us. And I know you, some of you have had that experience, if not all of you. They come to heal us. And when they're gone, or they die, we go through some emotional loss, heartbreak, and it's a tough time, and we all have to go through it. Let me just tell you a story. I rescued a Doberman on Oahu, and I brought him here, and he had, he was a great dog, but unfortunately, he had a genetic problem, two of them. He had a bad heart and his blood wouldn't clot. He had von Willebrand's disease. And he did so fine with Chinese herbs and medicinal mushrooms and supplements for the heart. But one day, he was about 10, took him to the beach and it was 10 o'clock. In the morning, so it wasn't too hot, but it was too hot. And so the problem with heart disease is that heat can really stress the heart. So he ran around like a crazy fool on the beach. And then he started that panic look in his eyes. And I knew that he overheated and his heart was giving him some trouble. So I put him in a car, put the air conditioning on, and after 2 hours with air conditioning on, he finally settled down. But that was kind of like the beginning of the end, because he gradually, over a six-month period of time, got worse. And I, you know, as a veterinarian, it's really bad. You feel really bad. You can't help your own animal. So this progressed. He had good days, bad days, and finally, you know, this dog seems to be suffering. You know, I think he's suffering, and he's not going to get well. So I was ready to put him down. So I got all my syringes out, various tranquilizers, painkillers, and anesthetics, and I had him all ready, and we went out to his favorite spot in the yard, which had a view of the valley, and so we sat there. I had all the syringes out. I had a beer. We both fell asleep. And during the little sleep that I had this dream. He and I were flying through the sky. It was an amazing dream. And then I woke up. He woke up. So I had all the syringes ready to go, you know. And he looked at me and looked at the syringes. And he just gave me a goofy look. And so he ran down the hill like a puppy. Ran down the hill like a puppy. And then he collapsed. And I got to him, and he died in my arms. Now, I think that was a better way to go than jabbing him with needles and things. And so he told me. So one of the keys is, like, how do you know it's time to go, let go? How do you know when it's time? You need help. You think you need to give your dog that shot. You just got to connect with your animal. You know, what do they need? What do they want? Cats and dogs, and I'm sure other animals too, that are in severe pain, generally do not eat. And when they're ready to go out, go to the next universe, they don't drink water either. So they don't eat, they don't drink water, and this can go on for a week, then you know it's time, or maybe less than a week. Some pets who don't eat are nauseous because they have liver or kidney problems and the waste products are building up in their body, or the medications for pain are making them nauseated or upset stomach, which some of the pain medicines do. So you really have to connect with your pet. I mean, spend time touching, talking, feeling. And you can feel what's right in your heart. You can feel it in your heart. Now, in your brain tells you, well, the animal's suffering and he's going to die anyhow. Let's let him go. Or, the dog's in pain. He's alert. So what can I do? Well, maybe look at better pain controls than what you're doing now. Yeah. Better pain control until they let go might be one way to do it at home. So hospice care. I've done hospice work with humans and was one of the originators, founders of the Center for Living with Dying in the San Jose area. And that was for people, hanging out with people that are dying, giving them comfort, support. But I got it's so important to do that with your pets. It's a special service. And it's not easy for the caretaker to watch your animal die slowly. Some people can't handle it. They, you know, they're so connected to their ailing pet, they're fearful that their animal is suffering and should be put down to avoid the suffering. And I agree with that. But many times, it's too abrupt. You didn't get to say your goodbyes and your dog needed to see a few sunrises more. There are other people that just wait too long, or they're so unconscious or in denial that the animal is suffering and they're basically in denial. And so we have animals that are suffering that should be put down. So what's the best way to do euthanasia? I mean, if you decide, okay, I'm not going to do hospice, that's too much for me. I can't handle it. And some of these big dogs, they're hard to manage. You know, some animals, you got to clean up their poop and their pee and take them out, and they're too heavy, and you have a stressful life already. And so, just to digress here a little bit, how do you know your pet is suffering? What an animal is feeling can only be extrapolated or imagined. And one can appreciate pain more completely by yourself experiencing different kinds of pain from your personal past and having experienced various kinds of pain yourself, you know that quelling pain is more complicated than just taking a pill and hoping for relief. So there's the perception of pain, which can be different than the true feeling of pain. So what you think or what you perceive pain, it might be not pain. The animal might be just letting go slowly. Yeah, I don't know if you've watched a person die slowly and be there for them. That's one education that a lot of us have to go through with our loved ones. But we go through that with our loved ones, our pets, a lot. So you want to do something for pain. I'll tell you, if your animal's dying, the two things that seem to work in tandem together, CBD oil. Every 4 hours, you got to find a veterinarian who knows what doses to give because you can give too little. And tramadol, which is an opioid. Tramadol and opioid. So CBD is kind of like relaxation, takes away inflammation. And tramadol more is like blocks the pain center in the brain. So it's like numbing the brain and then relaxation. And so those are the things you can do at home to keep your animal out of pain, CBD and tramadol, until you're ready to let go or until your animal lets go at home. And there's other things, other herbs and things, but those are the main ones, tramadol and CBD. So you have to make a decision. Let them die naturally with pain control or have them put to sleep with drugs helped by your veterinarian. So euthanasia performed by a veterinarian can be a spiritual experience, or it could be a sterile, expedient clinical procedure. Yeah, it's just a sterile, expedient clinical procedure. Nothing special about that. It's another animal put down. I mean, it's really tough, although the veterinarians don't show it. It's tough on them, too. What's the best place for euthanasia? Well, ideally at home. If you can get a veterinarian to come to your home and do it, that would be your best bet. Now, not all veterinarians have the space or the time or the willingness to do that. And I used to do that a lot. I don't do as much anymore. Home euthanasia performed is the best way to go. You have the veterinarian there. Animals in comfort, security, surrounded by love, and the peace of being at home. So dying at home is comfortable for animals. There are no stresses, and it's easier for them to let go. So you can facilitate this before the veterinarian comes by giving your dog some extra doses of CBD. Not THC, but CBD. You don't want THC. CBD. And so if that's not possible, the other best, second best place for a euthanasia is take the cat or dog someplace outdoors where it feels comfortable, like the backyard. Or if it's a dog, your dog's favorite beach, forest, or by the stream. I put down dogs, put my own dog down by the stream. This is Shiva. She was like, I don't know, 21, 22 years old. And after you decide that you're going to go do it, please talk to your whole family, okay? So there's always people saying, oh, we should have put them down like a weeks ago or last month. And so you have all this, frustration in communication going on. But once you decide, the person that's responsible for the animal and is the most connected, you need to talk to the whole family, especially children in the house, and put it in the context of celebrating the animal's life. Celebrating the animal's life, and they're leaving this life for another life. So either euthanasia or hospice care with a transitioning pet is special. It could be a celebration of life, a gift from God who has been a family member and contributor to the happiness in our lives. A lot of people do ceremony. And I think ceremony is really important to honor the life and honor the passing. Now, when done in a veterinary clinic, and this is rare, you want a place and a space of euthanasia that is comfortable, free of chemical smells, that's quiet, is peaceful, and the pet is comfortable with the veterinarians as well as the staff. And the staff and the veterinarian have to be calm, compassionate, supportive, and not in a hurry. And that's tough in a regular vet clinic when they're seeing 10 people, 10 people an hour. I have a place like that outdoors. Comfortable. Outdoor smells, quiet, peaceful. And not many clinics have that. In fact, now with COVID, they're going to take your dog or cat, take it into the clinic while you sit in the car. Yeah, you sit in a car, and then your pet comes back in a plastic black bag. Now, that's really discomforting. So is there a better way? Well, maybe if the vet doesn't want to go to your house, how about taking halfway measure? Let's meet halfway at the beach, Kalia Beach, my favorite place for my dog, and do it there. So it takes a lot of courage to go through this, whether you're doing hospice at home or you decide to have the veterinarian help you. And if the veterinarian helps you, I tell you, the other way you can do it, because you want to be there. Your animal doesn't want to be around a bunch of strangers dying, being in fear and terrified fear sometimes and feeling abandoned. So you really want to be there. So the other way is to do it in the car. My dog loves the truck. She loves there. So that would be one place. You know, if I had to have another veterinarian come and do it, she could do it in my truck. At the clinic, I've done that. And the veterinarian, you can ask, we do it in the back of my truck instead of having it taken away from me, exposed to a lot of strangeness, smells, noise, confusion, a lot of people running around, other animals barking. It's not a bad thing doing it in your car, the back of your truck, wherever the animal feels comfortable. So, humane societies and kill shelters, you know, that is the hardest job, to be putting down animals that are discarded, treated like objects. The people can't deal with them, so they dump them off at the humane societies all around the world. Everywhere's, and a lot of these animals are just old. They're a little sick and maybe arthritic, but they're still sacred beings. Around 6 million animals enter shelters every year, 6 million. Approximately 1 to 1.5 million animals are killed every year in shelters. On the good side, roughly 30 million get new homes every year. Around 700,000 dogs are put to sleep versus 900,000 cats at these shelters. The other good thing is that actually the numbers of dogs and cats euthanized in U.S. shelters annually has declined since 2011. So it's getting better because more people are, what, adopting dogs. So I'm going to go on a little bit with the topic, but I'm just going to play some music to get you, if you want to call, you can call. You don't have to call 826-7771. Play some, let's see, where am I playing? Let's see. Yeah. I'm going to play some Kitaro. This is a good one for letting go. Letting go. Eight two six triple seven one. back to the show, Pets, People, in Paradise. And, yeah, we're talking about euthanasia today. A heavy subject, but it's one that's always on people's minds, especially as their animals get older. And we just want people to get some information so they make better decisions. So, from the veterinarian's point of view, you know, this is not an easy procedure. It takes a toll on veterinarians, too. And so, I know in the beginning, when I first was a vet, let's just get this over with, you know? Try to, like, block all your feelings. Block all your feelings and just get this done. And so, it's too fast, it's too quick, too abrupt. And hiding the emotional stress that happens to a veterinarian is a common thing. A lot of veterinarians don't want to show sadness or any of that, so they're very stoic and they do not show emotion. Does not mean that they don't feel it somewhere deep inside. But euthanasia is one of the euthanasia is one of the things that drive veterinarians to suicide. One of the factors, which is we're going to talk in a future show, why do veterinarians and vet techs have the highest suicide rates, like 2.5 times more than the average suicider, 2.5 times more veterinarians. And one of the things that was listed was doing euthanasias. And, you know, or you don't know, but, you know, the veterinarian is going to go through a lot of things in his mind or her mind, since 80% of the vets are now women. And you're not trained in vet school how to deal with this. In fact, we were never even taught how to do euthanasia properly. But there's all this other stuff that goes on, like the coulda, shouldas, what I should have done. And, you know, so that's floating in the veterinarian's mind. And then guilt and regrets and fear and sadness can be buried inside. And the person might not look like that's going on. Got to be strong. Got to look, you know, professional. Don't cry. So we're going to have a future show on that. But let's just go over the procedure so you know what's happening, because I don't think most people know what's happening. And this is the best way to do it. I mean, the procedure of euthanasia can take, if you don't do it well, could take 45 minutes to an hour and a half. So that's a lot of time for a veterinarian to spend with people. But I think it's important. You want a gradual process of letting go. So I first administer some pain medicine, like a opioid and a tranquilizer, to relax the animal. So you give them a shot. They're not going to die, but they're going to get relaxed, and all their pain is going to go away. And so while the animal begins to feel some relief and relaxation, that's the time where people often want to talk, reminisce, tell stories, memories of love for the pet that they shared life together with. That is a healing process that goes on for the people and is part of the euthanasia process that should be put in, where people have the space to, okay, the animal's out of pain, the animal's relaxing, and people are talking and getting their last words, last stories heard. Then I give them a second injection, an anesthetic. So this makes the animal, and it takes a few minutes, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, to disconnect the mental consciousness from the physical body. So you got to get them unconscious so they can start floating away, their spirit. and letting go of their body. I might also inject some more relaxation things like magnesium to help them relax and disconnect their consciousness from their physical body. After this second shot takes effect, the animals are sleeping, but they're alive, and sometimes they're dreaming. So they're in the dream state and unconscious, and they're starting to float into the other realms, which we don't know about until we die. But I think it's going to be a good realm, the next evolution. And when the animal is pretty much unconscious and the owners are ready, so I was told, are you ready to let go? And the veterinarian assesses the patient's vital signs and sees how unconscious and how relaxed they are and decides what combination of anesthesia to give. And then the last shot is given, and that might take 5 to sometimes 30 minutes for the animal to let go with that final shot. I try not to rush the procedure. So usually it's done at the end of the day, which is actually good when the sun is falling down. Sunset is really a good time to do it. And when the mental brain shuts down with all your shots, because the last shot's going to shut the brain down, it's going to depress breathing and the heart, and then the animal will have a few deep breaths before it lets go, and then some of us can feel the spirit go. So when the body stops, the spirit soars. It's a let go. It's a special event. It's a spiritual event. A send-off back to nature. It's part of life. Experience of living with dying. Feel the fear, the hopelessness, the heartbreak, emptiness, sadness, loneliness can all come. And later, maybe, eventually, your joy will come back. Part of living is dying. Part of living is caring, loving, persevering, and preserving. And so don't hurry up. Don't cover it over. Feel what you're feeling. And I don't know, last time I put my one of my dogs went down, Ari, who just decided, I don't want the shots, I'm going to just run around and get a heart attack. It took me 2 years to get a new dog. It just, you know, it's hard to get over them. And a lot of people don't want to go through that whole thing over again, euthanasia. Yeah, so depending on what kind of problem your dog or cat is suffering from, like for me personally, I have my regimen of various substances to give to the animal. Primarily first, give them something for pain, relaxation, then make them unconscious. And then when people are ready, final push to let go of the body and the consciousness and fly off into the other world. Give me a call here at 826-7771. I'm going to play one more piece of music. It's called Memories of Blue. Memories of Blue.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show, Pets, People, and Paradise. You're listening at KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. And coming up at the top of the hour is My Generation, music from the 60s and early 70s. So that should be good. I know there's a lot of cat people living out there, so I want to give you a website. And there's a good article here on why fish is dangerous for cats. Okay? Why fish is dangerous for cats. I don't have time to get into it today, but if you go to this website, okay, littlebigcat.com, littlebigcat, one word, .com, okay, littlebigcat.com/ why fish is dangerous for cats. And Dr. Hovray, who's a friend of mine, just got a lot of good books out there on nutrition and feeding dogs and cats. But this one is particularly for cats, and it's a good website for cat people, littlebigcat.com/ why fish is dangerous for cats. It's primarily the fish that you get in your pet food. Fish meal, not good. Certain fish from certain parts of the ocean, she mentions that. North Pacific, not good. South Pacific, fish, good. Parts of North Atlantic, good. So she covers that all in her blog, which is basically what it is. Now, I was supposed to talk to about mushrooms today, and I will mention reishi mushroom, reishi, Ganoderma lucidum, the mushroom of immortality. That's what they consider it. And so if you have old animals, old dog, old cat, that's one of the things you can do to prolong their life is give them reishi mushroom, which gives the animal more energy, helps protect the immune system. So if you're worried about corona or COVID, or besides taking your zinc, your vitamin D, your melatonin, your vitamin C, your quercetin, you might want to consider taking reishi, which is an antiviral, stimulates your immune system against viruses. And for old dogs and old cats, it's good for their heart, it's good for their kidneys, it's good for their liver, it's good for their blood. So you can go online and search real mushrooms, Om mushrooms, good brands. Now, how do you get the mushroom in a cat? Well, that's a trip. Because reishi can be bitter. Reishi is a bitter mushroom. So if you know anything about Chinese cooking, part of it is how to balance flavors. You know, your sour, bitter, sweet, spicy, salty, five flavors. Well, bitter can be covered up with salt. So if you get salted butter, and you like open up a capsule, so they might need a half a capsule, a cat, or a small dog, a whole capsule, and you mix it with butter. And if you can melt the butter, mix the mushroom, and then either mix it in their food. So melted butter. So heat activates the compounds in mushrooms. You should never eat raw mushrooms, never. Always should be cooked if you want to get the basic compounds, and they can be very nutritious. They have a lot of vitamins, mushrooms, and especially the medicinal mushrooms have lots of vitamins. So you mix your reishi with some melted butter that's salty. You put that concoction in their food with some meat. Give them a little bit of food first so they make sure that they eat it. And that's one of the best ways to do that. The other way is to mix it with butter. When it solidifies a little more, then put it on the paw, the front paws of your dog or cat, and they'll lick it off. That's the other way to do it. So reishi mushroom, the mushroom of immortality, good for your immune system, good for your heart, kidneys, liver, blood, energy, stamina. You got old dogs? That's the one thing you can do besides making your own pet food is using reishi. You don't have to worry about overdose, because if you overdose, they're not going to eat that. You gave them too much. You got to give them a little bit. Yeah, so those companies make them in capsules. Probably the most economic way is to buy it in powder. So if you have a big dog, you don't want to use capsules. You mix your reishi mushroom. And I'll do a show on some of the other mushrooms. I have a whole paper written with color pictures of each one of these mushrooms. There's about six major medicinal mushrooms that can be used for cancer, liver, kidney, brain. Next week, I will not be here, but the following week, I will be. So next week, I will not be here. You can listen to my past shows in the archives if you go to the website, kkcr.org. And listen to my shows in the past. If you missed this show or you want someone to listen to this show, it should be ready by next week. Should be ready by next week. Yeah, reishi, the mushroom of immortality. And there's all kinds of reishi mushrooms. So I try to get organic all the time, either made in, grown in. They're all going to be grown. I mean, they are out there in the forest, and that's what I look for, and then I take pictures of that. I don't pick them. But when they're grown for commercial use, they're usually grown in a farm, and you want organic, either from Canada, Washington State, or Oregon. Those are the three places we buy mushrooms in bulk powders, and they're organic. So I'm not sure if Stephen Jay is here or anybody else is here, but it's time for me to say adios, amigos, and see you in a couple weeks. Stay healthy, stay safe, and be kind. I try to be kind. Sometimes it doesn't work. But my wife tells me when I'm not. So have a great week. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
World, we need to come together for a change that we wish to see and bring this world home. Was designed to be. Is it time to erase all the fear and the hate for the love we can reclaim and the choices that we can make? One world, one heart, one love in us, one space, one place, one big embrace, one sea, one sky.
that it's come to this. Can't pretend that it doesn't exist. Walking around in a false sense of bliss. What degradation and terrorist. What do you do when wake up? Rearrange your makeup and get hyped to this. Inequality corrupt assist. Brothers and sisters in the list. Change from within, so let's begin. I'm in, who's in the